From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis.
And I'm Peter Sagal. This week, our Congress proved once again that it was incapable of doing anything. So we spent the week arguing about whose idea it was to do something that they couldn't do even if they wanted to, which they say they don't want to do, even though they would like to do it if they could, but they can't. We'll ask about the latest shenanigans in the world's greatest democracy, plus author Amy Tan joins us, and Bill Curtis lets me know I can call him by one of his many street names.
Pound, Brofist, Yo Nux, Pound Dog, Bones.
We'll ask what really goes by those names on our quiz right after this hour's news.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm totally huggable, anchorman Bill Curtis. And here is your host, at the Norse Theater in San Francisco, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. It's our third and final week in San Francisco before heading back home, and we are celebrating with the Bay Area native, the best-selling author Amy Tan. My first question to... Oh, yeah? She'll be here. My first question to her will be, do you have a guest room or a couch I could crash on? We can't bear to leave. How about a dog bed? I can do that. But first, we've got some questions for you, so give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Tommy Van Cleve from New Rochelle, New York.
Tommy Van Cleve, how are you?
I am very well.
Now here, I don't know how many people react to New Rochelle this way, but I know of New Rochelle because of the old Dick Van Dyke show. Is that?
Absolutely.
Do you have, as Chicago, where I live, has a statue of Bob Newhart from his sitcom. Minneapolis has a statue of Mary Tyler Moore. Do you have a statue of Dick Van Dyke somewhere in New Rochelle?
I don't think there's a statue. I'm sure there's a plaque hidden somewhere.
You think? Because you got to get on it. You got to be celebrating the fictional people who never really lived there. Otherwise, Tommy, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up is a comedian and the host of the Who's Paying Attention podcast. You can see him at Hilarities in Cleveland on August 20th through 24th. It is Alonzo Bowden.
Hello.
Next, it's the comedian who'll be performing at the Santa Clarita Performing Arts Center on September 6th, Paula Poundstone. And look, it's another comedian, this one who will be performing at the Wilbur Theater in Boston on September 6th, Maz Jobrani.
Hey, buddy.
So, Tommy, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off with Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis is going to read for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain. Just two of them. We're easy that way. And if you do that, scorekeeper emeritus Carl Castle will record a message on your voicemail. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right, here's your first quote.
Don't harsh our mellow, dude.
That was the New York Times columnist and famous buzzkill Maureen Dowd. This week, her paper endorsed the legalization of what?
Marijuana.
Yes, indeed, marijuana. With a front-page editorial last Sunday, the Times has said it has changed its editorial mind. It is now in favor of the legalization on the federal level of marijuana. The Times credits modern research into the drug, the woeful history of criminalization, and this one amazing night at Burning Man. Become more of a hipster newspaper.
Didn't she eat a cookie? Was that her?
That Maureen Dowd famously, or rather famously if you care about Maureen Dowd, decided to look into this, what this whole marijuana thing was about. So she went to Colorado, where it is legal, and she bought an entire, she bought a marijuana candy bar, and she ate the whole thing.
Oh, Maureen.
Which is a mistake. And she wrote about it at some length.
It's not a mistake. If you want to fear people and hide under the carpet is not a mistake.
Yes. And she was in a hotel room and the carpet was glued down, so it was a frustrating evening for Maureen Dowd. The Times, though, despite Ms. Dowd's skepticism, they're trying to reach out to stoners. So instead of jumping to an inside page, all the front page stories will now just drift off into silence. The Sunday crossword will now come completely filled in, and the dining section is now edible.
If the New York Times wanted to know what it's like to be high, couldn't they just ask the New York Post?
That's true.
Nice.
Now, we don't know what they're smoking over there.
Yeah. USA Today is more... The USA Today should write an op-ed piece for stoners.
They're sort of like the Grateful Dead of newspapers.
Yeah.
You know, they got a lot of colors. They got pie charts. They're fun to stare at.
That's a fun paper.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they do have pie charts.
It's a jam paper.
They must have had a meeting, though, where someone said, you know what I think is really going to be the, what sets us apart? You know, will be the good reporting. No, no, no.
Pie charts.
Articles of substance. Stop it. Stop it. No. The pie chart.
Here is your next quote.
Listen. It's all a scam started by Democrats at the White House.
That was Speaker John Boehner saying that the whole idea of doing what to the president really started with Democrats.
Impeachment.
Yes, impeaching the president. So we're hearing all this talk now about a move to impeach President Obama, but no one will fess up to starting it. Democrats say the Republicans started talking about it. John Boehner says the Democrats started the rumors to get their people riled up. No one is accepting responsibility for this idea that is out there. So when Obama is impeached, as I'm sure he will be, it will be a miracle. The immaculate impeachment. Heralded by the three white men. So the Republicans are saying, we're not going to do that. What are you talking about? But the White House and the Democrats have been talking it up. OMG, the Republicans are going to impeach the president. Quick, send money. Maybe Obama himself wants to be impeached, right? He's sick of the job, but he knows if he quits, he won't get unemployment. Tommy, so we're going to take a break from politics and bring you this last quote.
Pound, brofist, faux knucks, pound dog bones, respect knuckles, bumping the rock.
Those are, according to Wikipedia, alternative terms for something that the Journal of the American Medical Association revealed this week to be much safer than handshakes. What?
The fist bump.
The fist bump. Very good. The fist bump, popular among baseball players and middle-aged men desperate to appear hip, is much more sanitary than shaking hands, we now know. Scientists tested this out by one of them putting on a glove covered with bacteria, the other one putting on a sterile glove, and then they tried different greeting methods to measure transmission. They tried handshaking, fist bumps, high fives, and deep, uncomfortable hugs that went on about 4 seconds too long.
But, you know, here's the thing.
Here's the thing, Paul. What is the thing?
I think that there's a reason why we do a handshake. I think that contact, the potential of looking one another in the eyes and getting an oxytocin boost and a feeling of connection, I think there's a reason for that that can't really be replicated by fist bumping.
And also...
I just want to say, Paula, I found that very moving, and I'm now very nervous about ever shaking hands with you again, I'm afraid.
No, also,
I mean, it's like, Peter, you shook my hand, you never call. I'm like, I'm sorry.
No, that's the thing.
It mean nothing to you, Paula?
That's the thing. You're so removed that you're considering now a handshake some sort of a commitment. That's not right either.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is so important to be said to men in particular. When a woman extends her hand for you to shake it, then you shake her hand. You do not turn it up and kiss it. Jeez.
Does that happen to you a lot?
Oh, and it is just so creepy.
You know what?
Because it's not, you know, I handed it at this angle. You know what I mean? I handed it at the handshake angle. And so I'm not giving it to you to do whatever you want with it.
But
I'm not loaning it to you. It's like if somebody borrowed your lawnmower, you know, you're assuming they're going to use it to mow the lawn. You don't want to find out later they put it in the ocean. Like, no. Yeah.
Bill, how did Tommy do on our quiz?
Tommy?
I can tell you, you did great. 3-0. Good for you.
Well done, Tommy.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. panel. It is, of course, time for you to answer some questions about the week's news. Maz, whenever you go to Paris, we know there's a chance that somebody might be on strike. This summer, it might be the transit workers or the street sweepers, but it also might be whom?
The prostitutes.
No.
The pimps.
No.
Am I close? Am I anywhere? No.
If I said that you were, these people would be very insulted, so I'm going to stay away from that.
If you said that I... Oh, because...
They do have... They do
lawyers?
Have, no, these people... These people do have one thing in common with prostitutes, but only one, and otherwise they're totally different.
They wear high heels?
No, it's a question of what they don't wear.
What they don't wear...
All those famous Parisian artists with their berets and their palettes will have to be just painting.
Oh, the model, know, the nude models.
The nude models are going on strike in Paris.
Yes.
For the second time in 8 years, nude art models in Paris are threatening a strike, saying they are underpaid, they have no job security. The biggest beef the models have is with Paris City Hall, which as one of their official functions as a city government, provides live drawing classes for residents and thus hires a lot of models. And all your stupid city does is provide water, police, and fire departments.
Really? I'd never heard of that.
It's true. It's weird. They're city workers. Here in America, especially back home in Chicago, it is hard to imagine a city worker you would like to see naked.
Well,
hi, I'm Phil.
Know,
normally I'm with Streets and Sand. How do you want me posed?
That is a pretty...
See what I mean?
Yeah. That's when you just do a quick stick figure.
Yeah. Get out.
Yeah, got it, Phil. Done. Thanks.
Coming up, our panelists take you out to the ball game in the future. It's our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Lumber Liquidators, offering a variety of sustainably harvested flooring, including pre-finished and stained at 1-800-HARDWOOD. Progressive Insurance with more than 30,000 local independent agents. Information available at progressive.com. And Angie's List, connecting consumers with user-reviewed contractors, an online marketplace, and concierge support for home improvement services, angieslist.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Maz Jobrani, Alonzo Bowden, and Paula Poundstone. And here again is your host at the Norse Theater in San Francisco, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks, everybody. Right now... It is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, everyone. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
My name's Donna Deshawn.
Hey, Donna, where are you calling from?
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City, beautiful Salt Lake City, Utah. And are you from Utah?
No, I'm not. Newport Beach, Boca Raton, Toronto, Australia, a little bit all over.
Yeah, a little.
A little.
Who are you fleeing? Well, Donna, welcome to the show. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Donna's topic?
Taking baseball into the future.
Americans started playing baseball more than 160 years ago, and many of those early games are still going on today. Man, is baseball boring. So we were excited to read about, finally, a 21st century innovation in the sport of baseball. Guess that real story. You'll win the voice of scorekeeper Emeritus Carl Castle on your very own home voicemail.
Okay.
Ready to play? First up, let's hear from Alonzo Bowden.
Everyone complains baseball is slow, and that's because it's really slow. But hold on to your hats. Soon you can join the action through the Cap Cam. Miniature cameras will be installed in players' hats, and using an app, you can click around and see the game as your favorite player does. You can watch a 90-mile-an-hour fastball coming at you or see a double play develop from second base. You can see what the left fielder sees when his head moves between the long fly ball and the wall he's racing toward while catching it. You can see all of that in theory. Seems many right fielders are more focused on the cleavage in the stands than the action on the field. According to ESPN, a prominent player who swears Gatorade is what's inside filmed himself sipping warm milk in a dugout. And shockingly, a young pitcher gave everyone a first-person view of him shooting dice with Mr. Met, the New York Mets mascot, during the seventh inning stretch. The hat cam will continue to be tested. Hopefully, it'll be ready for use at the 2014 World Series.
Cap cams. See what the players see, no matter what they're seeing. Your next story of an evolution in baseball comes from Maz Jobrani.
What happens when your baseball team loses over 400 games in 5 years? People stop coming, which is exactly why the Hanwha Eagles of South Korea decided to fill seats in their stadium with a crowd of robot fans. Eagles supporters, not wanting to waste their time driving all the way out to the stadium just to watch their team lose again, can now enjoy the misery at home by controlling a robot over the internet who will do the watching for them. The bots can cheer, chant, and perform the wave. Is this a good idea, robot baseball fans? The poor things can't even drink a beer or eat a hot dog to pass the time. Will the seventh inning stretch now be called the seventh inning reboot? So basically, this new technology is like watching the game on TV, but your camera is mounted on a robot's head. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why robots will take over and make us pay. Because we made them watch boring baseball games that no human being wanted to see.
A team in South Korea fills the stands with robots so they can have a crowd. And your last story of America's pastime becoming America's future time comes from Paula Poundstone.
The uncouth days when the propensity for baseball players to grab their family jewels on the field may soon be swept into the sport's dark, uncultured past by a small DNA-shaped piece that is sewn into the inside of the uniform, just beneath the zipper of the pants. It has a heat sensor that causes it to twist when friction makes the temperature rise, which gently adjusts and loosens the male triple threat. The baseball uniform pants are quite tight, says creator and Hello Kitty CEO Hiro Takahashi. And this has for many years been a problem for the players' crotch arrangement. The players on the Japanese baseball team, the Hanshin Tigers, were the first to use the revolutionary new automatic hands-free crotch adjustment device with mixed results. I have never liked to touch my private parts in front of a crowd, says first baseman Shunsuke Fujikawa. It seemed like a very good idea, but it was a distraction. When I wear the device, I miss a lot of catches. Center fielder Hagata Ho had a great game using the device. I found that I could create more friction by running very fast. I stole bases 3 times and received many rewards.
So, from 3 different countries that play baseball, 3 different stories of baseball innovation. Was it from Alonzo Bowden here in the U.S., the introduction of the cap cams that show you what the players are seeing? From Maz Jobrani in South Korea, robot fans to fill the crowds and broadcasting.com? Or from Paula Poundstone in Japan, a device that saves the baseball player from the trouble of pursuing their traditional habit of adjusting themselves on the field? Which of these, which is your choice for the real baseball innovation?
As much as I would like to go with Paula, I'm going with the robots.
You're going with the robots. You're choosing the robot fans.
Jeez, I'm sorry.
All right. Well, we spoke to somebody who actually covered this baseball innovation.
They decided that they were going to create these robot fans that were going to sit in the stands and cheer for the Eagles.
That was Melissa Locker, a reporter for Time, talking about the robot baseball fans. Congratulations, Donna. You got it right. The robot fans of South Korea. You picked Maz's story. It was the truth. Maz got the point, but you won our prize, the inestimable Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. Congratulations.
Excellent.
Donna. Well
Thanks
done.
So much.
Thank you so much for playing.
In a future time, children will work together to build a giant cyborg. Robot parade, robot parade. Wave the flags that the robots made.
And now the game where seriously accomplished people attempt to accomplish something casual. Amy Tan grew up all around the Bay Area, where her Chinese-American family was part of a group of friends they called the Joy Luck Club. In 1989, Amy published a book of stories by that name, which became an international bestseller, inspired a movie adaptation. Her latest novel is The Valley of Amazement, and we are delighted to have her here. Amy Tan, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I'm thrilled. Thank you.
They like you here, and I'm not surprised, because... You grew up here in San Francisco and Oakland, all over the place. You moved around
That's
a lot?
That's right. Local girl.
Local girl. So where were you born?
Born in Oakland.
Born in Oakland. Oaktown.
Oakland, yeah. Oakland. Yeah. 41st, 51st, 61st, Highland Avenue.
Really?
It was everywhere.
Why were you moving around so much?
My mother believed in the American dream, and by moving up in the world, you kind of moved up 41st, 51st, 61st.
Yeah. But we have heard, Amy Tan, that you had kind of a wild side growing up. Is that true?
Who told you? I mean, what?
Actually, your bio on your own website. I don't know whether you know.
Oh, was it when I tried to run away with the German guy and get married in Austria?
That might have been it.
Or was it when...
I'm interested
when
in
I was arrested for drugs.
Ooh, were you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Better than Oakland.
I think so. So what happened? You were arrested for drugs in Switzerland?
Well, you know, I was so... My father was a minister, and I was so innocent. Everybody smoked pot and hash over there. I thought it was legal.
In Switzerland? And,
yeah.
How did you get from Oakland to Switzerland?
Boat.
That's a method, I guess. That'll work.
It was not a happy reason. My mother thought that our house was cursed.
Really?
Or that we were cursed and that we might as well move away and get away from the cursed house or at least move away and have a good time before we all died. And so we ended up in Switzerland.
Which
doing
drugs.
It's a long story. Yeah, I just went a little crazy. You know, I used to go to church every day, and then suddenly I was in Switzerland. Snow, you know, and boys. And over there, all the guys thought I was cute. They thought I was exotic. They thought I looked like an Eskimo.
Yeah. So you made some choices that maybe you regret.
I did. I regretted it deeply.
Right.
I didn't get married, and I didn't stay in jail. I wasn't sent to jail. I was just arrested, and I had a promise I would listen to my mother and always obey her. And so I said, yeah, you know. And then
you can be arrested for not listening to your mother.
In Switzerland, you can.
Oh, man.
Really?
Yeah, my family and I are going there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see. So what happened to the guy you were going to marry?
My mother, she hired a police detective. He happened to be the mayor of the town of Montreux, because it was a very small town. And she gathered all this evidence, and he and all my friends were arrested and deported. So that is one way you get rid of your daughter's boyfriend.
How did you feel about this? I mean, there's one thing of, like, your mother disapproving of your boyfriend. Another thing of, like, your mother having him deported with all his friends. That's another...
Well, actually, I was relieved because I really did want to break up with him. I mean, that is a terrible thing to say. I felt really bad because also when I saw him, she took me over to the border to see him. And that really put an end.
Wait a minute. She did what? She took you
she
where?
She took me to the border to meet him after he was deported, which was really a smart thing to do because now the only reason I really liked him was to get back at her. But now she's taking me to the border. And, you know, we kiss and everything, and I'm thinking, oh, thank God, you know, it's bad breath and everything.
Oh, wow. So did you thank your mother?
No, of course not. I was 16, you know. Of course I didn't do that.
Your mother's very Machiavellian.
She was brilliant. She was,
yeah.
You know.
Now, you wrote about your family quite famously in the stories that became the Joy Luck Club, or at least as fiction, right? And,
yeah.
And was your mother there to see the book and read it and appreciate its acclaim?
She was my first reader.
And what did she think?
She loved it. I mean, she ended up thinking that I knew her so well that all the stories she used to try to tell me, like why she got mad at somebody. She used to go on for 3 hours, you know, and then she did this, and she betrayed, and then she'd say, after the book, she'd say, I don't have to tell you. You understand. You're just like me. Because she read the book. She's, you know.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's a great, I mean, every author or every would-be author imagines that moment of writing the book about their childhood, about their family, giving it to their family, and them saying, you understand so well.
And also mother saying, I don't have to go on for 3 hours.
Yeah. You just skip it. So instead of going on about somebody she disliked, she just gave you a page citation to the original edition.
Yeah.
And did she see the film?
She did. I was very nervous that she was going to faint or, you know, go crazy. And I was watching her at the screening, you know, and there were people crying and everything. And at the end, I said, are you okay? And she said, yes. And I said, it wasn't too much. She says, oh, no. In China, everything was so much worse. This was better. So
there you go.
I sobbed over that movie. I mean, just sobbed. And I had already read the book, which was brilliant. I love it. I'm an enormous fan. But this idea that you could write a book and then your mother would feel that she didn't need to go on and on explaining things. when my son hears this... he is going to go into his room and write. This is very good, I think, for kids to know that if you just write a book, then your mother will be quiet.
Now, you don't have kids, but you have dogs.
I have dogs, yes.
Are you ever the stereotypical Chinese mom to your dogs?
Why did you do that? Why did you pee on the floor? Yes, I am.
You've brought shame to the family.
You brought stink to the family. You brought stink to the rug.
Have you had any dogs deported?
No, but I have threatened.
Well, Amy Tam, we are so delighted to talk to you. We've asked you here today to play a game that this time we're calling...
Amy Tan, meet Tan Amy.
Your name is Tan, but what do you know about tanning? We're going to ask you 3 questions about tanning and the tanning industry. Answer 2 of them correctly, you win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their voicemail. Bill, who is author Amy Tan playing for?
Sasha Fredericks of Oakland, California.
All right. People do some interesting things to get a great tan. Which of these is a popular, if controversial, tanning technique used in some U.S. salons? A, the full-body microwave oven. B, laying out on the top of skyscrapers to be closer to the sun. Or C, swallowing orange food coloring.
You know, I would want to go with A, but I'm going to go with B, because a lot of people like to get high.
That's true. I'm afraid it was C. It was swallowing orange food coloring.
Wow.
It's called canthaxanthin. It's a chemical used to make foods orange, and some salons sell it in pill form. You eat it, it turns you orange. The FDA does not approve. All right, you still have 2 more chances here, so this is good.
Oh, no.
You can still take your. You can still make your
so
mother
nervous.
Proud.
I'm nervous.
Let's say you want a tan and money is no object. You could go out and get which of these? A, a $350 single application of tanning lotion with real crushed up diamonds for that sparkly look. B, a $13 million trip in a Russian spacecraft with special starlight tanning time. Or C, a $500 session in the spray booth, a repurposed former car painting machine now spraying on tans.
I go for A.
You're going to go for A, the diamond tanning lotion? You're right.
Whoa.
The product is called Diamond Tan. It's available at your high-end salons. It has actual diamonds in it, so you look sparkly, and you can sand your fine woodworking products with your skin. Okay, this is exciting. If you get this last one right, you win. Let's say you are really dedicated to tanning. It's what you love to do. Well, if so, you should invest in which of these? A stay at the Ritz-Carlton in Miami, where the tanning butler, his official title, will keep you oiled up and remind you when it's time to flip over. B, you can get yourself a membership in the National Association of Actually Colored People, a tanning advocacy organization. Or C, you buy a naked mole rat, which high-end tanners use as a kind of a canary in a coal mine. When the mole rat starts to sunburn, you know it's time for you to cover up.
That last one is a trick question.
You think?
Yeah. A.
You're going to go for A, a stay at the Ritz-Carlton with the tanning butler? You're right! If you're interested in having the services of the tanning butler at the Ritz-Carlton South Beach, rooms start at $329 a night. Book now. Bill, how did Amy Tan do in our quiz?
Amy got two right, and in our book, that's winning.
Yay. Yes, yay for Amy Tan.
Right.
Amy Tan's new novel is The Valley of Amazement. It's out in paperback now. Go get it. It's amazing. Amy Tan, thank you so much for being with us. Amy Tan, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Just a minute, Bill gets freaky with a gecko. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Subaru, featuring the all-new Subaru Legacy. It's not just a sedan, it's a Subaru. Learn more at Subaru.com. The Ford Foundation, working with visionaries in the front lines of social change worldwide at FordFoundation.org. And Arizona State University, with more than 70 campus degrees now available 100% online at online.asu.edu. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Paula Poundstone, Maz Jobrani, and Alonzo Bowden. And here again is your host at the Norse Theater in San Francisco, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill escapes from Rhymatraz with this week's limericks. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Alonzo, as you know, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates have challenged the world's super rich to give half their money to charity. Well, according to the New York Times, many billionaires say they're doing just as much good by doing what instead?
Paying taxes?
No.
Oh, no.
That's right. They don't do that. They're leaving it in their will. They're giving billions to charity.
I'll give you a hint. If you're a billionaire, you get to do this. You get to feel good about your contribution. And you get to sail to St. Bart's.
Spending money? Buying yachts?
Buying yachts, yes.
Oh.
The New York Times proved just how much it endorses marijuana when they published this article. They wrote about a St. Louis-based billionaire named Dennis Jones, and he says that the $34 million yacht he bought was not so much a gift to himself as it was a gift to the shipyard who built it because it provided them jobs. He made this case. He's still deciding whether to name the 164-foot luxury yacht Don't Thank Me, Giving Back, or You're Welcome, Hobos.
I obviously don't make that kind of money, but I did the same thing with Yahtzee.
Yeah. Doing your thing for Parker Brothers.
Which,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, which is, you know, the people who worked in the factories where they put the dots on the cubes who otherwise would have been closed down.
Is that game still available?
I love that game.
Thank you.
My daughter, Tosha, got 5 Yahtzees in one game.
Whoa.
One time. Yeah,
wow.
That's unbelievable.
That's a highlight.
Yeah, I think she cheats.
Paula, more and more states are following California. They're legalizing same-sex marriage. But until this week, it seemed like one thing was missing for gay people to be completely accepted by mainstream society. But it finally happened, though, when what was published for the first time?
Can you give me a hint?
Well, it was published, and this is important, in Cosmopolitan Magazine.
Cosmopolitan Magazine published.
Cosmo's been doing this for years for straight couples, but now they've finally done it for same-sex couples.
Oh.
Showing that they've arrived.
Positions?
Yes. Well, more or less. Cosmo published a list of 28 ways to drive your same-sex partner wild in bed. In its century-long history, Cosmopolitan magazine has published a total of 68,234 ways to drive your man crazy in bed. Yet, strangely, the men of America remain sane. Well, this month, for the first time, they have unveiled...
No, they don't!
Well, if they are, let me just say this.
How cute that you think that.
Speaking as an American man, if we are crazy, it's not because of that, okay? This month, for the first time, Cosmo unveiled, quote, 28 mind-blowing lesbian sex positions. It's a great how-to for a fraction of the cost of tuition at Smith.
Now, do they show pictures of the positions, or are they
tasteful drawings?
Tasteful drawings. Are there arrows? Are there? Is there movement in the drawing? You know what I mean? Like when I used to fall.
Yeah, like little motion pictures.
Yeah, and
squiggles and exclamation points.
Is it like, you know, like Twister? Right hand, left buttocks.
It's somewhere between a space shuttle manual and an IKEA instruction booklet. You know, it's like in that middle space.
Does it have an?
There's not much space between those two.
I know. But
does it have an age warning? Because after a certain age, you don't want to try some of those moves.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
do not mistake it for an IKEA manual, because those Allen wrenches hurt if applied incorrectly.
You know, every male friend that I've ever had and asked them to help me put together something that came with instructions, the first thing they do is lay the pieces out and go, well, they didn't send you with their spoon. It's broken, basically.
Right.
It's broken. And I wonder, do they do that in a, you know, when they go towards the instruction and they look at one another?
No, I think,
yeah, Paula.
It's not going to work. It's not going to work. We don't have all the parts.
Let me speak for the American male.
Please do, Alonzo.
And let you know that we have never broke out an issue of Cosmo and said, let me read the instructions on how to operate this.
Well, and I don't think any man has ever looked at a woman and said, no, I don't think we have all the parts. I think we've always been very satisfied. We'll make do with what's there, speaking. Yeah. We'll improvise.
If the parts are available, we'll use them.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for that rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois, and our upcoming show at Tanglewood in Western Massachusetts on August 28th, in Seattle, Washington on September 18th. And be sure to check out How to Do Everything. This week, Mike and Ian explain how to avoid the noid. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Henry from Sunnyvale, California.
Hey, Henry, how are you?
Oh,
Sunnyvale is down in the peninsula, right?
Yeah, that's right, right here in the South Bay.
Silicon Valley?
Yes, sir.
And are you in the high-tech industry?
Yes, I am, unfortunately.
Oh, really? I thought you guys were all billionaires and stuff. So are you trying to get out of there?
No, we're stuck here. In fact, we're calling from the hospital today. We just welcomed our first baby.
Hey!
Wow!
That's exciting! Your wife just gave birth to your firstborn child, and you say, that's great, honey, terrific. Look, I got to call into this quiz show now.
We actually had tickets to be there, but he decided to join us a little early, and so we couldn't make it.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, no worries.
I think that makes you quite a guy, that you stayed with her instead of coming.
Henry, welcome to the show. Bill Curtis is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a winner. Ready to play?
I am.
Here is your first limerick.
The sofa I plant my butt in looks just like a huge dimpled chin, a big pinkish seat that's supple like meat and covered in human-like...
skin.
Yes, skin. A London furniture designer is selling special leather chairs that cost $2,500, and they're made to look and even smell like human skin. It's kind of a big, shapeless blob on another shapeless blob. It's for people who want to relax in the warm embrace of, say, an enormous, obese, naked man. You might think this is nuts, a weird joke. But our cow listeners are all like, oh yeah, laugh it up. Who could imagine?
Couldn't you just save $2,500 by getting a fat, unemployed roommate to lay around?
Yeah. Then you got to feed to argue about what's on TV.
See, when I hear about things like this, I'm like, none of my ideas are stupid.
And yet,
you know what I'm saying?
Here is your next limerick.
I'm old and hate hospital check-ins, so regular exercise beckons. My body's still strong, just not for too long. I work out in bursts of 6 seconds.
Seconds. 6 seconds. That's right. To avoid health problems, experts are now recommending retirees, senior citizens, should get 6 seconds of exercise per week. That's all you need to get health benefits. It can be achieved in quick bursts on the bike, maybe a single push-up, a high impact, 6 seconds of struggling to get up out of your human skin chair. I don't know.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Who recommends this?
Scientists.
And how old are they talking? I mean, are we talking about people that are like, you know, it'll give you another day?
We're talking about people who are over 65, people who are sedentary or old.
6 seconds? This is not a good thing to say on the radio.
Well, it is amazing to consider that this is how sedentary we've become. We're a mere 6 seconds per week of vigorous exercise. It is an improvement over where we are.
Really?
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Here is your last limerick.
Our geckos are space-roaming wizards. Our contact to them has been scissored. They're out there in space propagating their race. And soon we'll have blizzards of...
Oh, gosh.
Geckos is a hint.
Lizard?
Yes, yes. Lizard. Crisis in space. Last week, the Russian space agency lost control of a satellite filled with copulating gecko lizards. This is true. They wanted to see what effect microgravity had on the mating habits of lizards. One effect gives the female lizards another excuse. Not tonight, honey. I'm floating helplessly around this chamber.
We send these like multi-million, billion-dollar devices into space with just animals.
Well, we didn't. They did. I mean, the same month we were celebrating the 45th anniversary of the first man on the moon, they sent up a bunch of lizards just so they could watch them do it in space. Who's winning this space race?
That just sounds really cocky. It's like, whatever, we have lots of money. Put lizard. Go. Whatever.
Bill, how did Henry do?
The proud father Henry got 3 out of 3.
All right.
Congratulations. Well done, Henry, and congratulations on the birth of your son.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players now has 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill Curtis, can you give us the scores, please?
Alonzo and Boz have 2 apiece. They are tied. Paula has 4.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
We have flipped a coin, and Alonzo has chosen to go first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. The Peace Corps announced it was pulling its volunteers from countries in West Africa as the blank outbreak continued to spread.
Ebola.
Right. After failing to meet a payment deadline, the country of blank defaulted for the second time in 12 years.
Is it Argentina?
It is. Yosemite National Park was forced to make closures throughout the park as a blank there continued to spread.
Fire.
Right, a wildfire. 2 police officers in Britain were commended for being able to make an arrest even though they were blank.
Naked?
No, dressed as a zebra and a monkey. On Wednesday...
I like my answer better.
On Wednesday, George W. Bush announced he had written a biography of blank that will be released in November.
His father?
His father, very good. Actor Orlando Bloom fulfilled all of our deepest wishes when he threw a punch at blank.
Uh-oh. They know it and I don't. Orlando Bloom threw a punch at paparazzi?
No, he threw a punch at Justin Bieber. 4 prisoners. Way to go, Legolas. 4 prisoners in Australia who escaped from prison got so drunk they blanked.
Got caught?
No, they broke back into prison. According to the Australian Department of Corrections, four prisoners broke curfew, snuck out of their cells, hopped the prison's fence, and met up with friends who provided them with beer and weed. The prisoners were caught trying to lock themselves back in their cells. They each had 2 years added onto their sentences for the crime of not getting while the getting was good. Bill, how did Alonzo do in our quiz?
He got 8 more points total of 10 and the lead.
All right. Maz, you are up next. Fill in the blank. This week, Israel announced that even with a truce, they plan to destroy the tunnels that run under blank.
The Gaza.
Right. On Monday, Congress announced a $17 billion plan to improve health care for blank.
For America?
For veterans. The CIA has officially apologized for hacking computers belonging to members of the blank.
Senate.
Right. President Obama urged leaders in Central America to help curb the number of blanks entering the U.S.
The immigrants.
Right. A clown was injured in a Boston area crash of a blank.
Airplane?
No, a clown car, of course. Panasonic announced a plan to build a large-scale battery factory in partnership with electric car manufacturer blank.
Tesla.
Right. A California judge ruled that Donald Sterling cannot block the $2 billion sale of his team, the blank.
Clippers.
The Los Angeles Clippers. Officials in China, who had rushed to finish a sports stadium, were disappointed to realize they had blanked.
They had forgotten to find the right place for it.
They were disappointed when they realized they built the running track in the shape of a rectangle. The stadium is awesome. It's got all the latest amenities. It's got the most modern design, all straight lines and right angles, including the running track, which, as you know, is traditionally oval. Everything was fine until the leader punched a runner-shaped hole through the stadium wall. Bill, how did Maz do in our quiz?
Maz got 5 points for 10 more points. He now has 12 points and the lead.
All right. Here's the question I love to ask. How many does Paula Poundstone need to win?
4 to tie, 5 to win.
There you go, Paula. Here we go. This is for the game, Paula Poundstone. Fill in the blank. Vladimir Putin claimed that the new blanks imposed by the U.S. and EU would only help strengthen the Russian economy.
Economic sanctions.
Right. After not being able to secure enough votes, Republicans in the House were forced to scrap their proposed blank bill.
Immigration.
Right. This week, Sarah Palin announced she was launching her own blank.
Television network.
Right. Online channel. Calling himself the flag bearer of anti-doping, Vincenzo Nibali became the first Italian to win the blank in 16 years.
Tour de France.
Tour de France, right. Traditional healers in China are claiming they can cure impotence by blanking.
Traditional healers say they can cure impotence by rubbing up against a man.
No. That might work, but what they're doing in this case is they're lighting the patient's crotch on fire.
I knew that.
The ancient fire treatment, also known as Chinese Viagra, fire crotch, or little burning man, works like this. You lay on a massage table, you wrap a towel doused in herbal oil round your waist, and then you light the towel on fire. Bill, did Paula do well enough to win?
Well, she needed 4 to tie. She had 4. So Paula and Maz are this week's co-champions.
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists, now that handshakes have been deemed unsafe, what will be the next common behavior to be declared unhealthy? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Esurance, insurance for the modern world. With Fuelcaster, a tool that predicts whether gas prices will rise or fall tomorrow at esurance.com. The Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, supporting the performing arts, the environment, medical research, and child well-being, and Angie's List, connecting consumers directly to its online marketplace of services from member-reviewed local companies. More at angieslist.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Thanks to Masai Aitoku, Corbett Kyle, and the crew at the Norse Theater in San Francisco. Special thanks to Holly Muller-Wallen, Kate Goldstein-Breyer, Ali Washkin, and of course, the remarkable Sydney Goldstein at City Arts and Lectures. And this week, we say farewell to our intern Seth Kelly. Seth, we are so grateful for the time we've had together, listening to you play your French horn, watching you hold our disco light at Red Rocks, and filling in for Bill Curtis for 3 weeks in a row without anyone noticing. Good luck, Seth, and thanks for everything. B.J. Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Waltrover and Miles Dernboss. Technical directions from Lorna White. Our CFO is Andy Yen. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Mr. Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Spectacles Danforth. Now, panel, what is the next thing scientists will say is bad for us? Paula Poundstone.
Choral music.
Maz Jobrani.
Watching too much Kardashians can lead to talking like this and like that and like that.
And,
like that.
And Alonzo Bowden.
CrossFit.
CrossFit?
I just thought I'd try it.
Well, if that happens, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Paula Poundstone, Maz Jobrani, Alonzo Bowden. Thanks to our fabulous audience here at the North Theater in San Francisco. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.